Okay, if I can ask you to open up to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, this morning, please. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And you'll continue your study in the I Am statements of Jesus through chapter 10 here. So we'll look at these statements that Jesus has made, and he's got this Gospel account here, as we looked at before, these self-revelations of who he is, who he is saying he is in his own words. So this kind of revelation that he gives to the people round about him at this moment in time. We're looking at today the fourth statement that Jesus makes in the account here. We've already looked at today, I am the bread of life. And we looked at the fact that God gave manna in the wilderness, but Jesus is the bread of heaven, that he is the true spiritual nourishment that we all need that lasts for an eternity. We've looked at I am the light of the world, that we no longer need to walk in darkness, that Jesus came to expel the darkness and to allow us to walk in light and to be children of light as well. And last week we looked at the fact that Jesus stated, I am the door. And to summarise that, basically he is the door of salvation, the only way into the fold of God. There's no other way we have to go through Jesus, and he is that gatekeeper. So as we summarised last week, the passage that we're looking at here in John chapter 10, it's an account at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus had previously healed the blind man and had caused the religious leaders of the time to go off their nuts. They were not happy with him at all. They weren't happy with the way he'd done it and the time and the place he'd performed this miracle. And instead of being happy at the fact that Jesus had healed this man, had given him light out of his darkness, they were coming against him. They were battling Jesus. They weren't accepting who he was. They weren't accepting that he was the Son of God. And it's in the midst of this dialogue with the Pharisees that we get another glimpse into who Jesus is saying he is. We looked at, as I said last week, he says that I am the door. So we looked last week at the fact that we are the sheep. We are the sheep, the followers of God. And the sheep pen looked at as being an analogy of the body of Christ. And the door, we only gain salvation through Jesus. So he is the door, he is the guard, the protector, he is the way in. And this week we're following on from verse 11 within the Gospel account here. So we'll just read from verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep which I have are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So as an overview to that statement there, that passage of Scripture, we see the good shepherd is Jesus, and he owns the sheep. He owns the sheep, which speaks of possession. He cares and protects the sheep, which speaks of protection. And he knows the sheep, which speaks of relationship. And in all this, he welcomes more into the fold. He wants as many sheep within the fold as possible. He wants as many people to be saved as possible. So I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So we are the flock. Those redeemed by God are the flock of the good shepherd. And we need his leading, we need his protection in our lives. Many, many times in the scriptures we see spiritual rulers and the leaders of the time in Israel referred to as shepherds. And unfortunately we see many times how these shepherds fail. And this kind of failure happens when we replace a relationship with God with religion or a desire for power in place of a desire to serve. And that's what the rulers and the spiritual leaders did at the time of Jesus here. We get a very good example of this in the book of Ezekiel, And it's Ezekiel 34, verse 1-6, which I'll read out. It's Ezekiel 34, 1-6. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that which was driven away, nor sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. They were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. So that is an example of the shepherds of the day over Israel, how they failed the people. And later on in the account of Ezekiel 34, we see that God steps in and he gives the solution to this situation that took place. So Ezekiel 34 from verse 11 says, Thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in that day, he is amongst his scattered sheep. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places where they were scattered in a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out of the peoples and gather them from all the countries, and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them in the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. They shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring them back which was driven away. I will bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. So the time comes and God steps into the scene here and he says that he will shepherd his own people. And we see that time has came in one sense when Jesus steps in John chapter 10 here and he makes that statement, I am the good shepherd. Even more so, when we look at this account of Ezekiel here, it also speaks of the millennial kingdom as well, when God brings all nations to himself and he will rule and reign over all people. But in one sense, we see the fulfillment in John chapter 10 here as well. So Jesus is the door of salvation, but he is also the good shepherd that will seek out his flock, look after the flock, protect it, possess it, and deal with it the way that he sees fit. So we can ask the question, what makes a shepherd a good shepherd? And basically the account here in John chapter 10 says, a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So a bad shepherd would step back from danger, wouldn't put himself between the sheep and between a predator, but the good shepherd would live and would actually die for his own sheep. So the good shepherd would sacrifice for his sheep, but he also really knows his sheep as well, and the sheep know him in return. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that will call us individually. He will be willing to lead us if we would follow him, but he'll also equip us and guide us through our daily lives as well. And these are all aspects we all urgently need in our own lives. But it's our call to hear our shepherd call and to obey that shepherd's call in our life as well, just as the good sheep had to do when the shepherd called them. If you want to be fed and nourished and protected, we've got to listen and we've got to obey, as the Sunday school song would say. So our good shepherd loved us enough to lay down his life for us. We like to talk about sacrificial love, but do we actually act out in our own lives as well? And that's what we see with the good shepherd. Jesus was the sacrificial giver. He gave his own life for us. So Jesus didn't just talk about sacrificial love, he showed it on the cross. We read in Isaiah 53 verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is Jesus laying down his life for us, to allow our iniquity to be laid on his body. So number one characteristic of the good shepherd is he's willing to give up his life for the welfare of his sheep. He didn't run away from the dangers of sin. He didn't run away from the situation, the darkness. He walked straight into it, and he gave himself in our place. He didn't leave us with a problem that we couldn't solve. He dealt with that issue by his own blood. So when we think about the shepherd would love his sheep as well. He knew them. He knew the sheep knew him. There was this kind of common bond with them. And absolutely nothing would come between the shepherd and his sheep. We read the account of David being the shepherd boy. A bear came against the sheep. He ran after that bear and clubbed it and killed it. A lion came after the sheep. He ran after the lion and killed it and got the sheep back. That is the picture of Jesus for us. The love that he's got for us individually. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Romans 8:38-39. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the promise we have in our Good Shepherd. Our lives are in his hand. It says in John 10:28, no one is able to snatch us out of his hand. He's placed us in his hand, and he is guarding us and protecting us and looking after us each and every day. I like that kind of verse, John 10:28, nobody be able to snatch us out of his hand. But also want to give you another scripture to put side by side with that one as well. And it's Colossians 3:3, which says, for you died and your life is hidden in Christ in God. So you're in his hand, but then you're hidden. So nobody can snatch it out of his hand because they can't see you there. God has got you so covered and so hidden that you're so protected. That is how much he's loving you and protecting you. So his love for us is a real love. It's a sacrificial love. And it's a love that is concrete. It does not change. No matter what we might do, he still loves us. That never changes. And he promises never to leave us or forsake us. He will not run away like the bad shepherd would run away when a predator came against the sheep. When something bad happens in our life, Jesus doesn't run away. He stays with us and he protects us and he walks through that situation with us as well. He is willing to lay down everything for us. A sacrifice so big and a sacrifice that we need to understand in our own lives. So at verse 12 it says, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So the hireling, the hired hand, is the metaphor for the careless leader. The careless shepherd who is a coward, who is not caring for the people, but only caring about themselves. A representative maybe of God, who is self-serving, not the sacrificial giver, the sacrificial server that a spiritual leader should be. Since that person was hired, they were doing the job for money. When they seen that the money didn't equate to the job in hand, they walked away from the job. The lion came against the sheep. I'm not getting paid enough for that. I'm going to leave the sheep to fend for themselves. Where there's no vested interest, then we're not willing to go all out for somebody else. And we see that Jesus went all out for all of us. His vested interest in us is so great. His love for us is so great. There's nothing that he wouldn't put himself between. No matter the danger that's in front of us, he always puts himself between us and that danger. He doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves at any moment in time. But Jesus is making the contrast here. The Pharisees of the day versus the Good Shepherd Jesus. And he's telling the Pharisees how far they have failed. They're not doing these things and they're failing the people of Israel. Last week we looked at I Am the Door and he's saying, you are thieves and you're robbers. You should be giving so much to these people, but you're not giving them the love and the care and the protection, so you're being a robber to them. You're stealing off of them what they shouldn't be getting. But here we see the Good Shepherd. He owns the sheep. Just as the believer has been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We, the redeemed believers, have been bought by Jesus. We are the sheep that are owned by the Good Shepherd. The sheep, the Good Shepherd owns us, so he's got that vested interest in us. He's got a love and a care for us because he is our Good Shepherd. He owns us. That is the distinction between the hired hand and the Good Shepherd here. Think about it. If you maybe go on holiday somewhere, you maybe hire an apartment for a couple of weeks. How do you treat that hired apartment versus how do you treat your own house? You maybe wouldn't bother up your mucky shoes quite as much in the apartment, but your nice new carpeted house, you'd be making sure everything's looked after really well. When you don't own it, when you're not responsible for the item, you become more complacent. The Good Shepherd Jesus isn't complacent with us. He owns us, he loves us, he cares for us, and in no sense will he be complacent over our lives. He will face the wolf, he will face the lion, he will face Satan, he will face any circumstance in your life because he loves you and he cares for you. Trust him and trust that he's got you in the palm of his hand. So he says, I am the Good Shepherd. An absolute statement, no doubt about it. I am the Good Shepherd. Normally though, the sheep would die for the shepherd. The Old Testament sacrificial system, the sheep would be slaughtered and make atonement for the sins of the people. But here we see with Jesus, all these things are turned up on top of their head. The shepherd gets slaughtered in place of the sheep. That is how much Jesus cares for us, how valuable he counts us individually and collectively. He is one who continually cares for his own, and he is one who continually protects his own as well. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. This is speaking of relationship. The shepherd knew each of his flock in minute detail. It's even said that the shepherd in these times would actually give his sheep names, kind of like pets. And we kind of looked at that aspect last week a wee bit. But likewise, our good shepherd knows each and every one of us by name as well. Every born-again believer, the Lord knows your name. Every unsaved person as well, the Lord knows your name. He knows who we are, what we're up to, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, what we're struggling with, what's going on in our lives. He knows, and he cares, and his hand's in it. He's dealing with the situation. Whether you feel it or whether you don't, he is in all of your situations. He will lead us, he will care for us, and he will get us through them all. Trust in him, because he is your good shepherd, and he's caring for you, and he's leading you through. Sometimes a bear might come against us, sometimes it might be a lion, sometimes it might be the darkness of night that frightens us. The Lord is there, no matter what the situation is. He knows your name, and if you're born again and saved, he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life as well. He knows you in minute detail. Revelation 3:5 says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Just as the sheep know the shepherd and the shepherd know the sheep, the Lord knows your name and you know the Lord. Be encouraged in that relationship there and continue to build yourself in your relationship with the Lord as well. It's personal and you need to build that personal relationship with him. So as we consider Jesus as being the good shepherd, we also need to consider the question, if he's the shepherd and we're the sheep, what kind of sheep are we? Are we the kind of sheep that wants to know our shepherd better and better? Are we the sheep that will follow our shepherd wherever he calls us to? Are we the sheep that will follow the leader in front of us? Are we the sheep that sticks close to the shepherd's side? Or are we the sheep that wants to wander off? That wants to go down the side tracks to the left and to the right? Are we the sheep that bears the mark of the shepherd? Or do we identify with the world and the things round about us? Only we can individually answer these questions. But if you remove yourself from the shepherd, you're placing yourself in danger. But hallelujah that Jesus is the God, the good shepherd that seeks out the wandering sheep. He will come and find you. But let's not put ourselves in those places to begin with, if at all possible. The other point is, the good shepherd welcomes more sheep into his fold. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. So other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Jesus at this moment in time is speaking to the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the Jews round about him, who frequently are spoken on scripture as God's flock. The Israelites are God's flock. So these other sheep are us, Gentiles, the Gentile believers. We are the others within account here. The Gentile believers are not of the fold of Israel. And they are often spoken of in the scripture as the scattered sheep. So they've got the two different groups here going on, the Israelites and the Gentiles. So what we see is that the gospel, even Jesus is pointing out in John chapter 10 here, the gospel is not just for the Jews, it's for all people. Not limited to the Jews, it started off with them and then it spread to the Gentiles as well. So there's one flock, there's one shepherd, but Jesus is calling believers his sheep from more than one group of people. The shepherd is the one who's going to gather his sheep from all groups, every tongue, every nation, every tribe. He's calling every person to himself. He will claim his children, and he will claim them from wherever they will come from. He breaks down the separation between the Jew and the Gentile. He brings us all together collectively under his name. A common relationship with the Good Shepherd, a common relationship with Jesus, our Saviour. We can back that up with Galatians 3, verse 26 to 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ and have put him on, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All one. Doesn't matter where we came from, what our background is, what our nationality is, no matter what is in our background. We are all one in him, and that is what Jesus is revealing to the people here as well. His desire is that all people would come to salvation, that none would perish. So he's seeking out lost sheep from every place across the globe. He's seeking out his people across the world, back then and today. So in verse 17 he says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. For no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So anyone could potentially lay their life down. We can all die. That's quite an easy thing to do. But Jesus was the only one who could take his life up again, that he could come back to life, be resurrected. Jesus has the power to take up his life. And that was the evidence that he is the I Am. We looked at that before, the I Am in Deuteronomy. When Moses saw the burning bush and God gave the revelation of who he is, he says, I am who I am. This kind of covenant God, Yahweh, this is a proof that Jesus is indeed that God revealed in the Old Testament. So it was the plan of the Father that Jesus submitted to, the plan of the Father that Jesus followed as well. Him and his Father were one. They were walking along, carrying out the same plan according to the scriptures here. He was obedient to the Father, just as we need to be obedient to the Good Shepherd in our lives. So as Jesus gives this revelation of who he is, I am the Good Shepherd, what happens? The people hear this statement, they're confronted with this account of Jesus, who he is saying he is. What do they do next? They're thinking all these messages, they're comparing who Jesus says he is, comparing him against the Pharisees, and we get the answer in verse 19. Therefore, there was a division again amongst the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he is a demon and he is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So when Jesus speaks, yet again, division occurs. When we speak of the Lord today, share the gospel news, division occurs. Jesus brings division because he wants to separate the sheep from the goats. He wants to separate those that are in the kingdom of darkness from those that are in the kingdom of light. and he wants to show exactly who he is to the people round about him. So some people believed that he was who he said he was. Other people believed he was a bit of a nutter and there's a demon within him. William Barclay, one of the teachers to the ministers back in the day, says this: either Jesus was a megalomaniac madman or he was the Son of God. We need to make that choice individually. We need to allow other people to make that choice informedly as well. The choice that we make is the difference between an eternity with him or an eternity without him. Or as the verses say further on in the book of John here, from perishing or being saved eternally. So Jesus has this dialogue with the Jews when he walked into the temple. The Jews are gathered round about him, and this is what happens. He brings the vision. We read in verse 22, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them and said, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So Jesus has been telling them up until this point who he is. He's revealed to them, "I am the living water, I am the bread, I am the light." He's been giving them all these kind of analogies. He's not trying to trick them, but he's trying to allow them to understand who he is by giving them an example, a comparison, a metaphor. But still, they're not getting it. Why are they not understanding? Why are they not getting the message here? It's simply because they did not want to understand. They did not want to accept that he was the I Am, God Almighty. He was declaring not only by his words, but also by his actions. He said who he was, and then he demonstrated it with actions. He healed the blind man just further back in this account here. So that's just happened, and the people are flocked round about him. He's just performed a miracle in front of their eyes, and yet they're saying, "Tell us plainly who you are." He's told them and he's shown them. And he's saying, "You're not getting it because you're not of my fold. You're not one of my sheep." The lack of belief showed they were not of Jesus. They were not part of his fold, part of his group. True sheep will believe. True seek will seek out the truth and then accept that truth. They will hear the voice of the Lord. They will recognise the Lord for who he is. And when they see him move, they will recognise it's him that's been moving in a situation. His sheep will follow him through all circumstances. And it's to these sheep that will follow and believe and receive and accept, that he says in verse 28 that they are granted eternal life. They will never perish, they will never be snatched away from the shepherd. That God's sheep have got security eternally. It's these sheep that the shepherd knows, and it's these sheep that know the shepherd as well and will respond to his voice. So it's speaking of this protection that the believer can have, that no one can snatch you out of the hand of God. The sheep are safe because they're secure with their good shepherd. Now, if I ask you which psalm speaks of shepherding, the most popular psalm, I'm sure we can all come up with it, is Psalm 23. And I don't think I can go through this without kind of dipping into Psalm 23 a little bit. I'll not go through it all for sake of time, I'm sure you'll be glad of that. But sheep and shepherding are all through the Bible, through the Psalms, through many different accounts of the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. Even if we think of people in the Bible who were shepherds, Abel, Jacob, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, David, all shepherds. So we see so many analogies, so many pictures of faith in God through the sheep and the shepherd metaphor. And it shows a picture of care and protection and leadership within the body of believers as well. So the position of a shepherd would be very, very well known to the people that Jesus is speaking to here. But it wasn't the best job out. David was a shepherd because he was the youngest in the family. Okay, we'll give the youngest all the rubbish jobs to you. You're looking after the sheep out in the field. You'll be there 24/7, we'll hardly see you. Nobody will come out and speak to you. It'd be a lonely, hard dirty, dismal existence. But David threw himself into it wholeheartedly. He had a heart for the sheep. He loved and he cared for them as if they were his own body. And that's what the Lord does for us. The most well-known shepherd in the scriptures, though, is God himself. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. We see that throughout the scriptures. So Psalm 23 is one of the most popular ones that have got this metaphor taking place. And it's a psalm that's most commonly spoken to people on their sickbeds and at funerals. So sometimes we hear Psalm 23 and we're like, oh no, that's the death psalm. But as we actually read it, it's not. It's a psalm of life. It actually celebrates life more than it does death. There's a richness in Psalm 23 for the living, as well as for those that are looking to the next life as well. And it's a psalm of David that comes out of his shepherding life and his experiences. So the Lord is my shepherd. That's what David concluded with when he is writing this psalm. So this psalm is written near the end of David's life. He's been through all these high points, he's been through all these low points, and at the end of his life he can say, the Lord is my shepherd. That kind of five-word statement there. It reminds us, when the Lord is our shepherd, that we are not alone. Even if we've not got a person side by side with us, even if we are physically alone, we're never alone spiritually. The Lord is your shepherd. He is with you and looking out over you each and every day. But before we can say the Lord is my shepherd, we need to understand the my part. We need to have that relationship with the Lord. We need to count that personal relationship with him daily, to count him as being my Lord, that daily we submit our lives to him and we allow him to lead us each and every day. The Lord to David was a shepherd. The Lord was with David through the high points, through the battle with Goliath and the victory, and in the low points when he sinned with Bathsheba and eventually killed Bathsheba's husband. The Lord was through him, high points and low points. We can ask that today personally. Is the Lord with you each and every day, in each moment of every day? Who has the Lord been to you? And who do you understand the Lord is going to be to you in the future as well? God stands with arms wide open, ready to receive us, to look after us and protect us and to lead us. But we need to obey him and be led by him as well. So it's a personal my. The Lord is my shepherd. We need to make that personal in our own lives. Martin Luther put it this way, the heart of true religion lies in personal pronouns. If you're taking the Bible here and you're making it just an exercise of intellect or an exercise of religiosity for somebody else, then you needn't bother. But if you're reading it as God's word for you, you're making it personal, and that's what we need to do. Psalm 23 is a psalm of relationship, of ownership and of dependence. Just as like we've looked at in John chapter 10 with I am the good shepherd. We are the Lord's sheep and we should not forget that at any moment. He wants to be our shepherd. Let him be a shepherd over your life. Don't butt against him. Don't run away from him. Don't try and hide from him. He is wanting you. He's wanting to be your shepherd. He's wanting to lead you. He is the God of the universe. But he cares for you individually, as if you're the only person on the face of this earth. But sheep are hard work, and we can be hard work as well. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord will not leave us or forsake us, even if we hard work to him as well. We can be wanderers. If we crawl through the fence and try and run away from God, God is going to chase after us. Isaiah 53:6 says that like sheep we've went astray and turned to our own way. We need Jesus to be our shepherd. We need him to come and find us, to hunt us down, put us over his back and lead us back to the fold where we're going to find nourishment and protection and water and food and all the things that we need in our lives. So the stray sheep, he won't leave. He will come and he will seek you and he will find you. The sheep, why do they need a shepherd? It's because they cannot look after themselves. We cannot look after ourselves in a spiritual sense and sometimes even in a physical sense as well. The Lord wants to take care of us because we can't take care of ourselves fully. The sheep can't make the grass grow and get food. The sheep can't make the water flow. The sheep can't defend themselves against the predators. They need help. We need help as well. Your good shepherd is there to help you. And it says in the psalm, if we allow the good shepherd to be that person in our lives, we shall not want. I shall not want, again making it personal in our lives. Satisfaction can be quite elusive. I think we sang the song one time in a sermon before, you know, I can get no satisfaction. We try. With God, he's the only one that can bring that satisfaction into our lives. Not materially, but spiritually. He wants to give us a spiritual satisfaction. The grass is not always greener on the other side. If you're going through a point in your life, you're looking at other people and thinking, I'm here, they're over there, I wish I was like this, I wish I had, I wish I could do. Stop wishing. God has placed you in the field he wants you to be in. He will give you the grass, he will give you the water, he will give you what you need. Sometimes we look to wander to what we think is going to be better in our lives. It's not. The Lord knows what you need at this moment in time. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. If you follow him, obey him, and come under his leadership and his guidance. We need to trust in him as our shepherd. Be sure of the fact that the Lord knows what's best for us, that he is looking out for us, that he is caring for us, and he knows what he is doing. Don't allow dissatisfaction to creep into your relationship with the Lord. Don't become dissatisfied in what he's doing in your life. Seek out the good things. Seek out where the Lord is moving. If you look for these things, you will find them. If we wander away from our good shepherd, that's when we can come under attack. That's when a predator can come in, the enemy can come in and wound us and pull us down. If we run away from the good shepherd, we run away from the nourishment that he can bring us. We don't have the nourishment, we become weak, we become lethargic, and then the predator, the enemy, can get us even more so. But thank God again that he comes to the lost sheep. He will pursue after us. He will seek out the lost sheep. He will leave the 99 behind and seek after the one that's ran away from him. Luke 15:3-6. So he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he had 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. That is hope for us, that if we ever wander away from God, he is going to chase after us. If he needs to break a leg and put us over his back, he'll do it. That's what he's crooked and his rod is for. He will do what he needs to do in our lives to keep us close to him. But also if we've got family, friends, those about us that we know of that maybe walked with the Lord at one point and they're not just now, we've got hope. The good shepherd's on the hunt. He is looking out for that lost sheep and he's going to bring them back. He's going to do in their lives what is needed. Sometimes it might be a bit of pain. You know, if the sheep was running away all the time, the shepherd had to kind of injure the sheep's leg to stop it running away. Not nice, but it's for the greater good. And sometimes we can look into our own lives and the lives of our family and think, oh man, why is that happening? Why this again? Why this? I don't know, but the good shepherd knows. He knows what he's doing and he will bring a greater good out of it. He is the owner over his flock. He possesses his flock. He protects his flock. He wants a true relationship with his flock. And if somebody of his flock runs away, he's going to seek out that lost sheep as well. He wants to delight in the sheep of his pasture. There's no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction that the Lord has than us walking side by side behind him. We're well fed, we're cared for if we stick with the Lord. So just to end up, I'm going to make some short, snappy observations from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's speaking of relationship. I shall not want is speaking of God's supply. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That shows the rest that the Lord can give. He leads me beside the still waters. He gives us refreshment into our lives. He restores my soul. He can bring the healing that we need. He leads me in the path of righteousness. He gives us the guidance which we desperately need. For his name's sake, he gives us a purpose in our life, and the purpose is to serve him and to follow him. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's periods of testing that the Lord might allow into our lives. I will fear no evil. That's the protection that the Lord can give as we go through those times of testing. For thou art with me, the Lord's faithfulness, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That's the discipline that he might have to give us. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He gives us hope. And you anoint my head with oil. He consecrates us to himself. My cup runneth over. He brings an abundance into our lives. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the blessing that he can give into our lives. That I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's our eternal security. Forever. And that's for eternity. What a good shepherd we have. What a great saviour. God's not only our father, but he's our good father. He's our good shepherd. No matter what we've been through in the past, God's still there. What we're going to go through in the future, God is there. He's our good shepherd through all things. Your good shepherd's calling you today to be with him, to stick with him, not to run away, not to wander, to trust him and to depend on him for all you need. That's what the Lord is asking you to do today. He is willing, he is able. We need to be the same. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scriptures here in John 10 and Psalm 23. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much, Lord. You bought us with a price, the price of your precious blood on the cross of Calvary. That, Lord God, that we are not our own. You have bought us at a price, Lord, that our body is owned by you. You long to be our good shepherd and to lead us and to care for us and to nourish us and to feed us and water us and do all the things that a good shepherd would do out in the field, Father. Help us, Lord God, to put our faith and our trust in you, Lord. Not to wander away, not to look at another field, Lord, and to think that things are better somewhere else. Help us, Lord, to trust in you through the difficult times, through the times of pain, through the times of darkness, through the times where we're not sure what's going on. But, Lord, as the shepherd looked out over the sheep 24/7, you look out over our lives all the time, Lord. You know what's going on. You will see to it. You will help us through it. You will get us to the end. And you will give us the blessing for it as well, Father. Although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we will fear no evil, that you are with us. That our cup could run over. That mercy and goodness will follow us all the days of our life. That we will dwell with you, Lord, in eternity, forever. Help us, Lord, to grasp onto these facts, Lord. I am the good shepherd, is what you say. No, I can be, or I might be, I am the good shepherd. Help us, Lord, to receive that truth into the very core of our beings, Lord. And help us, Lord, to obey and to follow you. Bless your word to us, Lord, and bring it to remembrance, Lord, exactly at the time when we need it. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.